The Lord hears our cries. Amen. Family may not hear it. Church members may not hear it. But I will assure you, we serve a God who knows each and every teardrop that falls from our eyes. Not only does He hear, but He does answer. Amen. Aren't you thankful that we have a prayer-answering God this morning? Could you join with me and give Him a hand clap of praise this morning? Praise God. Well, I was glad when they said, let us go into the house of the Lord. Amen. There is joy in the house of the Lord. Join with me also and give all of our visitors a welcome this morning. Let them know how much we love them. That the days of healing and miracles is not over. The Bible says we have not because we ask not. We serve a mighty big God. We received a message this morning to pray for little baby Brody, who's back in the hospital fighting for his very life right now. You may not know him, but God does. You may not know the situation, but again, God sees that need this morning. A precious little baby who, through no fault of his own, is fighting for his very life. Would you join with me and pray this morning? Heavenly Father, as we reach out to you this morning, God, on behalf of little Brody, who's in Scottish Rite right now, God, fighting for his very life. Father, I pray that you would let guardian angels encamp round about him right now. Let your Holy Spirit not only comfort him, but heal him and make him whole. Father, I pray, God, that you would raise him up. Pray, God, that you would bless that mother and that daddy and that family, God, with strength, comfort, and encouragement right now, because we know that all things are possible. God, there's no telling what a great testimony little Brody would have. He'll just heal his body right now. Precious and holy name of Jesus, we'll give you all the praise. We ask it in your sweet and holy name. Amen and amen. Thank you, Lord. Praise God, praise God. Thank you so much for that prayer. All right. Praise God.
And last Sunday I came up because I had bad and had street blood. Well, praise God, I've had no more.
Well, glory. God's still a busy God, isn't he? Amen. There's nothing impossible with the Lord. Amen. The things that we deem impossible are very possible with God if we'll just extend our faith to him. Amen. Well, turn to your neighbor and give him a great big smile this morning. Amen. God is love, isn't he? Hallelujah. If you have your Bibles, go with me to the book of Jeremiah. In the 5th chapter of the book of Jeremiah, we want to begin with verse number 20 this morning. Take our message from verse 20 through verse 25. Again, in the 5th chapter of the book of Jeremiah. Praise God. Jeremiah the prophet writes, declare this in the house of Jacob and publish it in Judah, saying, hear now this, O foolish people, and without understanding, which have eyes and see not, which have ears and hear not. Fear ye not me, saith the Lord? Will ye not tremble at my presence? which have placed the sand for the bound of the sea by a perpetual decree, that it cannot pass it. And though the waves thereof toss themselves, yet they cannot prevail. Though they roar, yet they not pass over it. But this people hath a revolting and a rebellious heart. They are revolted and gone. Neither say they in their heart, let us now fear the Lord our God, that giveth rain, both the former and the latter, in his season. He reserveth us the appointed weeks of the harvest. Your iniquities have turned away these things, and your sins have withholden good things from you. Can we bow our heads in prayer this morning? Brother Chris, would you ask God's blessing and his anointing upon his messenger this morning? Amen. Give the Lord one more hand clap of praise. You may be seated. We welcome each and every one of you here this morning. Before I get into the message, I just want to convey our heart appreciation and thankfulness for those of you that kept Sister Penny and her family in her prayers, or in your prayers this week, as her mother went home to be with the Lord. Thank you for every kindness, for the food that you prepared, for the flowers, and most of all for your prayers. We just wanted to pass that on to you. This morning I want to bring a message from this particular passage of Scripture. And if I would entitle it Setting a Boundary. Setting a Boundary. Mr. Webster says, boundary is the real and understood line marking a limit. Everybody say limit with me this morning. There needs to be limits in our lives. I believe God ordained that there would be limits in our lives. I thought it quite interesting and very profound that the Lord, God himself, used this particular analysis of the sea and of the boundary of the sea when he was conveying to the prophet Jeremiah to teach and to preach this to the children of Israel who was in a backslidden condition. So many times we find the children of Israel either really on fire for God or in a backslidden condition, and the different things around them. And it's amazing, and we should take a note from this, and we should learn from this, because seemingly when the children of Israel faced persecution, they faced problems, they faced enemies, that's when they got on fire for God. It was in the time of ease. It was in the time of no problems in their lives that they seemingly lost their focus on serving and obeying God and begin to slide backwards from his statutes and from his precepts and from the fear of God. So Jeremiah is known as the weeping prophet because his heart went out to the backslidden condition of Israel. God always raises a person, amen, to get the word out. How many knows that the word will go forth, whether it's through me or you or Jeremiah or Elisha or Elijah, whatever it is, God's going to have somebody to get the word out, amen. And God raised up Jeremiah, and he was speaking, and he used the word declare this to the house of Jacob, to Israel, and to publish it in Judah and tell them to hear this. And he began to use the analogy of the sea, and he said, tell them. And I want to read verse number 22 again, because it is so overwhelming and so wonderful, and so it just contains so much of how God can make ways when there are no ways. And he says, fear ye not me. He asked this question, do you not fear me, saith the Lord, will you not tremble at my presence? Why don't you do it like you used to, basically, is what he's saying. He said, I placed the sand for a bound, or for the bound, of the sea by a perpetual decree. How many knows perpetual means ongoing? And that it cannot pass it. And though the waves thereof toss themselves, yet can they not prevail. Though they roar, yet can they not pass over it. And I believe that God was using that analogy of the ocean. And I know the first thing that I was reading, you know, Satan kind of jumped up on my shoulder. He said, yeah, but there are times when storms come and the ocean actually gets out of its boundary and it does go over the sand and over the beach and into the cities and into the places and causes a lot of damage. And I was thinking about that and I said, yeah, but you know what? It always goes back to its place. Every single time when the storm is over, when the raging of the seas and the roaring of the seas, and no matter how much damage it does, and no matter how many loss of life there is, it always retreats back to its place. Amen. Why? Because a boundary has been set. And I begin to think about spiritual sand in our lives and how many times when the storm is coming, the people that are on shore, they begin to fill up sandbags to put this sand to block the waves. And I begin to think about it in a spiritual connotation. Lord, amen, when I'm in revival, I'm filling up sandbags. Amen. When I'm praying in my prayer closet, I'm filling up sandbags. The sandbags that I'm filling, amen, are not physical. They're not made out of material things, but they're spiritual. Amen. I may not be facing a problem or a trial, but that doesn't keep me from praying unto God and asking the Lord, when the waves do come, when the storms do arise and the wind blows, amen, I'm going to be fortified in the power of Almighty God. Why? Because I am going to perpetuate in my mind that I am going to set a boundary. Amen. And I want to talk about steps to setting a boundary. Man, many, many times boundaries are set with no organization, there no planning, no preparation whatsoever. And let me tell you something. If you want to set a boundary, it's going to take more than lip service. Man. You know, we all say enough is enough, amen, and that, you know, that's easy to say. Or I simply refuse to do that again. All of that is lip service. And many, many times great intentions have been made and confessed to the Lord, amen, that I won't do this anymore, or I will do this, or I'm going to start doing this. And really, when it's all said and done, it's nothing more than lip service. That's not setting a boundary. I believe that there are steps, amen, that we must take and we must apply to our life in order to set boundaries. And let me tell you something. When we set the boundaries, amen, the blessings will come. The things that block the blessings from Israel was not that God wasn't trying to send blessings. He said your sins and your iniquities have caused you to be withholden of good things. I would bless you. I would heal you. I would touch your nation if only we would set boundaries in our life and let God do what God wants to do in our lives and in our nation. Steps to taking or making a boundary or setting a boundary. One of the first things that he tells Jeremiah here is that they must hear God's word. Man, never ever discount the power of God's word. God's word is important. Can I kind of let you in on a little news scoop this morning and just kind of fill you in a little bit? If the only time you ever hear God's word is when the preacher says, open your Bible, you're missing out on great opportunities. Amen. This Bible is good for homework. This Bible is good, amen, when you don't have anything else to do and you're looking for something to do, open up the word of God. Amen. Begin to eat it. Begin to digest it. We need to be able to be in tune to hear God's word. We can hear so many things in this world, and I guarantee you, sometimes you can be so disgusted and upset by the time you get to church because you begin to listen to everything else except God's word. Amen. I believe that we need to come into God's house with a ready made up mind. I believe that we need to listen to the voice of God. Don't wait till we get to church to get victory. Come in the church doors with victory on. Ready, you'll be surprised what God will do if we'll just set certain boundaries in our lives. Man, I'm not talking about boundaries set by society. I'm not talking about boundaries set by popular opinion. I'm not even talking about boundaries set by political correctness. I'm talking about boundaries set by the statutes and the precepts and the Almighty God, the Word of Almighty God Himself, if we'll apply those things to our life. These are things we must have to do. Learning to hear God's words. Listen to the Spirit. Somebody once said, there's a reason God gave us two ears and one mouth. That is a reason we need to hear more and speak less. I often thought that many times we We listen, and we listen already with the intent of what we're going to say. I've been guilty of that myself, and I heard a minister say one time, he said, "I am not a counselor. God didn't call me to be a counselor." He said, and the reason he didn't call me to be a counselor is because I can't listen. I'm a preacher. Soon as they start saying that, I start preaching to them. I start telling them what to do. He said, a counselor needs to be able to listen and analyze the situation and many, many times speak less. I'm going to teach my wife to be a counselor with the help of Almighty God. All of us do not have that ability to be a counselor. Why? Because we don't have that ability to listen. And can I say it enters into our prayer life? It gets into our prayer life. We'll start our prayer life and we're just, you know, we're asking God to show me the way. And He's trying to show us the way. And we're telling Him how to show us the way. How to open the door. How to make a way. Telling Him exactly, step by step, what He wants to do or what we want Him to do. And that's not what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to hear the voice of God. Listen to the Spirit of God. And let God show us His way. Let God put His stamp of approval on the things rather than already expecting to say something before God even give us the answer. There is a technique to listening to God's word. And if we're going to set boundaries, we had better know God's word. Amen. Amen. God's word is powerful. It is quick. It is sharper than a two-edged sword. Amen. Let me tell you something. You can take the word of God and you can destroy somebody's life. Well, you can. Given in the wrong spirit, given in the wrong mindset, you can absolutely spiritually kill somebody with a two-edged two-edged sword of the Word of God. Amen. But you can take that same Bible and with love, amen, you can take the same Word of God in skillful hands. Let me tell you something. A scaffold doesn't need to be in a novice's hand. Well, it don't. I'm going to the doctor. I don't want one body. They hadn't even finished medical school. Say, give me the scaffold. How about you? You might have greater faith than I do. Amen. But it will do damage. It will cut asunder. It won't cut the right thing. But I want an experienced person, amen, or an experienced physician working on me, amen. But let me tell you something. God's word, amen, needs to be applied with love and mercy and grace, and it'll do that word, amen. It'll accomplish what the word of God wants it to do if we will allow God to be God. We need to hear His word. We need to understand His word. We need to be familiar with His word. And that doesn't happen just by flipping through the Bible and picking out what you like. Amen. There's a lot of things in that Bible my flesh doesn't like, but my spirit grows by it. Amen. Learn to listen. If you want to take steps to creating and setting a boundary, and understand when you set a boundary, you are marking a limit. You are marking a limit. There's limits in my life. I've tried to limit myself to certain things in food, certain things in other things, even a budget. You try to limit yourself. You set boundaries. And what happens when you step over that boundary? You'll do it again. I will assure you, you will. Once in a while, you move that line and you keep moving that boundary and you edge it up and edge it up. Well, one won't hurt. Maybe two won't hurt. Three's better. You keep moving that line. Listen, when we set a boundary in our life, amen, we need to stick by that boundary. The Lord said, I have created the sand, amen, as a bound for the sea. The sea knows where it can come. It may roar. The waves may be high. It may come against you with storms, but it knows its place. Let me tell you something. The God that I serve has set a boundary, and Satan knows his place. He could not touch Job because God had placed a hedge around Job. Many of us don't understand that. Many, many times when other people are experiencing situations, God is protecting us because there's been a boundary set around our life. Amen. And I don't want to cross that boundary. I don't want to step over that line. I want to say, God, keep me safe. And in order to keep me safe, I must obey and know and hear the word of God. Second step is maybe more uncomfortable. Something that human beings have a hard time doing. We sometimes get the Fonzie syndrome. If you don't know who Fonzie was, he was a character on Happy Days. Very macho, leather jacket, duck tail, all the cool stuff that went on during that particular time. But everybody was fearful and respected Fonzie. But it was very difficult for Fonzie to ever admit that he was wrong or that he was sorry. In fact, his mouth couldn't even hardly say the words when occasion would arise. He would try to say, "I'm," and he couldn't get it out. Let me tell you something. We do not need the Fonzie syndrome when we become before God. Amen. I know that I am weak. I know that I am frail. I know that I am human flesh. I know that I have fallen by the wayside many, many times. I am sorry. The second step that we need to understand in creating and setting a boundary is that we must see and confess our sin to God. You cannot hide it. You may hide it from everybody else, but God sees it. If you want boundaries in your life, amen, if you want to be productive in your spiritual worship with God, and if you want that boundary set, amen, that God's going to protect you and keep you, then you must confess and see the sin that is in your life and purge it out and root it out and get it under the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. Get it forgiven. And if you want to take it really a step forward, go to the person, amen, that you sinned against and ask their forgiveness as well. Amen. They may not have as much mercy and grace as God does, but in my eyes, I'm not trying to please man. I'm trying to get my life right with God. I don't want anything between me and God. I don't want any little sin or anything in my life, amen, that'll cause me not to be able to enter into that heavenly kingdom. Now is the day. Today is the day of salvation. Get it right now. Pour it out to God. And if you got brothers and sisters who love you, they're not going to be pointing fingers of accusation, but they're going to be in the altar praying with you and rallying around the Spirit of God. Amen. It's too bad that people today think you can just live with sin in your life. My Bible does not bear that out. Sin has to be atoned for. Sin has to be taken care of. And I can't wipe it away. If I could wipe your sin away, I'd lay the microphone down and just start wiping it away. But all I can do is take the microphone and point you to Jesus Christ, who said, "If you'll come unto me, all you that are heavy, laden and labor, I'll give you rest." He'll wash your sins away. He paid the price on Calvary. Don't let that sin lie and rot in your life. Confess your sin. Don't try to hide it or ignore it. Your iniquities have turned away these things, and your sins have withholden good things from you. What a powerful scripture. Lord, why can't I have joy? Why can't I get victory? Why can't I experience the things that I see that others are experiencing? Have you taken inventory? Have you looked and see if there's anything that are blocking the blessings? I will assure you, it is not on God's part. His blessings flow continually. Amen. Many things are blessings we don't even recognize or count as blessings. Do you realize this morning there's people who could not even get up out of their bed? Do you realize this morning that as I stand here preaching this message, there are people dying and losing their life all over this world, all over this nation? There are car wrecks happening right now. I'm not prophesying. I'm just telling you the fact. There is reality out there. We are blessed. If you were able to get up, come to church, clap your hands, hear the praise and sing the worship of God, we are very, very blessed. Amen. If you're blessed this morning, let the Lord know it with a hand clap of praise. Sure, you're blessed. Yes, we're blessed. We want those blessings to flow. Amen. We want to continue those good things. But if there's sin in the life, it's going to block those good things, the Bible says. These are the things that's causing them to be withheld from your life. The peace and the joy and the contentment of serving God. Amen. And setting boundaries in your life. Man, I've heard so many people, and I don't encourage people to tell me. It's not me. When you make a promise or a vow, you're making it to someone a whole lot higher than me. Amen. And when you make a promise unto God and you break it, He doesn't understand that. God has never broken a promise. He's never gone back on His word. He can't. Amen. When He speaks it, it's done. And He doesn't understand why we keep changing the line, changing the limit. You know, people say, well, we're living in a different day, but we're serving the same God. Regardless of fashion, regardless of the things that come and go, regardless of even popularity, and the line seems to be changed. Amen. Do you know Hollywood has changed the line? I didn't say God had. Hollywood has. I'm going to disrupt you just a little bit and shake up your world. Do you know that churches have changed the line? I hear precious saints, we didn't used to do that. Well, we do. Because God's a loving God and He understands everything. Yeah, but He sets a line. Thank God He set a line. I believe that churches need to set boundaries. Amen. I'm not talking about physical appearance. I'm not talking about things like that. Let me tell you something. The very first thing that I noticed in the difference in the churches today, we don't tarry and pray like we used to pray. Amen. You used to ask somebody to pray for you. You just forgot about the order of the service. You had saints of God, precious gray-haired saints of God that would pray for you. I knew a saint of God, when you asked her to pray, you didn't have to be in church. You could be in the checkout lane at the grocery store. She'd lay hands on you and pray. Oh, but Brother Eddie, we don't do that now. They'll run us out. It's because we've changed the line. We've changed the boundary. God hadn't changed it. We've changed it. Amen. We want to live a little closer to the roaring sea, a little closer to the raging waves and all of that. And we've let that line slip. Come on, brother, to get back to the word and quit meddling. But it's true. It's true. We get Hollywood on their case. They've changed the line. You know why? Because we let them. We let them. Amen. We allow it. We allow it. Amen. Our children, they've changed the line. Why? Because we allow it. We've let them. We don't want them to feel bad. We don't want them to stick out like a sore thumb. I think my mother enjoyed me sticking out like a sore thumb. Because when I tell mama, everybody else is doing it. I ain't their mother. I'm your mother. By the way, mother's here today and she's celebrating her birthday tomorrow. I think I'll get her back for all the times she treated me bad. I think I'll just tell you how old she's going to be. I won't do that. Amen. But they changed the line. They changed the boundary because we allow it. A good friend of mine said her papa was a very profound man, a wonderful, godly man. And he would talk about the things and the styles and this, that. And he said, well, in his country ways, he said, with his overalls on, he said, well, let me tell you. He said, what one generation allows becomes the norm of the next generation. Think about how profound that little old farmer was. He saw that. Why? Because they keep changing the boundary. Keep changing the line. The line which says there is a limit. He meant there is a limit. Let me tell you something. There's a limit for putting up with Satan. The word says, I rebuke you, Satan, in the name of Jesus. Get thee behind me. There's your boundary. It is behind me. Amen. Hallelujah. The glory to God. The heel has bruised his head. Glory to God. We forget about that. But there has been a boundary set for Satan. There was one set for Job. He said, well, yeah, I'll move it back, but you can do everything, but you can't take his life. Glory to God. Amen. And Job said, naked I came, and naked I'm going to leave. He said, blessed be the name of the Lord, because the boundary was set. Church, we need to set a boundary. We need to let Satan know where his place is. You can't touch me. I'm anointed of God. You can't bring me down, because there is a head.
about us. I rebuke you, Satan. And the church world said, no, we don't want to make Satan mad. We don't want to upset him. He'll be all over me. He's all over you because you allow it. Draw the line. Draw the boundary. I refuse to be tempted. I refuse to come to answer, amen, to Satan. I serve God. And God said, I have given you power. Hallelujah. Glory to God. See and confess your sin. The third one seems like it shouldn't even be listed, but sometimes the most obvious is the one we neglect. It is. And it simply says, fear God. Fear God. He asked Jeremiah, do they not fear me? Do they not fear me? Do they not tremble at my presence? Why? And listen, I preach more love than I have any other subject because God is love. But let me tell you something. I'm afraid that too many ministers have overindulged in the preaching of love and forgot that we serve a mighty God. Amen. That we still need to tremble at His very presence. That we still need to fear. And fear here actually means utmost and total respect. You know, we're living in a civilization that not only some don't even acknowledge God, but others have no respect for Him whatsoever. They don't fear Him. They don't tremble at His presence. They think because that time has gone on and on and on that God's never going to ask them, amen, to be accountable for the things that they've done. Let me tell you something. Accountability's coming. There is a day of judgment that's going to come. Hallelujah. And let me tell you something. People may not like hard preaching now. They may not like the strictness of the Word of God. But if you hold on and stay true to that boundary, one of these days you're going to be so thankful. Amen. At the day of judgment that you drew a boundary line. That you drew a limit. I will not participate. I will not go there. I will not indulge in that. Amen. I'm sold out to God. I'm going to serve God with my whole mind, my soul, my heart, and my body. I'm going to fear Him. I'm going to reverence Him. I'm going to respect Him. I'm going to love Him. And I'm going to draw a line, amen, and not only to Satan, but the things of this world that tend to draw us from that boundary line. There's a limit. There's a limit. Amen. There's a time when we say, you know what? That's it. That's it. Amen. Hallelujah. I refuse. Amen. Moses did. He said, you know, I refuse to go back to Egypt. He meant, I refuse to be raised in the palace. He meant, I'm going to go to my joyful heir, not only my joyful heir, but my rightful heir. He meant, I'm going to be raised as an Israelite. There's some times we have to draw the line, say, Satan, that's it. I refuse. I'm not going there. I'm not doing that. Total respect and reverence. As I said, people today use God's name in vain. Some don't even acknowledge it, God, and that has changed. I remember when I was growing up, there were certain things that were off limits. Amen. You did not go in and vandalize a cemetery plot. It's commonplace today. You would not dare break in and enter a church because of the fear of God. Not only the fear of the law, but the fear of God. Hey, it's commonplace today. I remember people telling me that there was these ladies mostly ladies, that when they paid their insurance premium, back when the insurance man came around to the house, because that they were drug infested and because there were people that would steal, you know where they put their money? She said, we put it in the Bible. And that old drug addict, that old homeless person, or that person that never worked a day in his life that would steal money out of his mother's billfold, would not touch the Word of God. Come on. Come on, The boundary's been changed. We're in a generation today that could care less about the Word of God. They'll tear it apart just to get to the money. Amen. But in my day, I was thinking about this. My dad owned a grocery store for 16 years. We had, some of you, you're not going to understand what I'm talking about. You know when you go to the fast food now and they got that one machine and you touch buttons and it tells you all the different kind of drinks you got and the ice and all that? Totally overwhelmed me when I saw all of that. I said, how can they put all that in one machine? Well, when Daddy had the store, we had about five or six drink machines that you put, and this is how long ago, there was some of them you put a dime in, you could get a Coke. And people were always losing their money in it. And some actually lost their money, and some, I think, just wanted a free Coke. Let's just be honest here. And we had this one little boy who lived in a housing project next door, and he found out if he'd go in and say, I lost my dime in the machine, he'd get a free Coke. Well, this went on and on and on, and his nickname was Booger. Kind of tells you about his little personality there. He was a booger too. And he come running in, so I lost my dime in the drink machine. Well, I got the keys. I went out there and I said, Booger, did you really lose your money? Yes, I did. I promise. I'm not lying. I put it in there and I didn't get no Coke. So I tried everything I know to do to get him to confess, but no, he was holding to his point. I put my dime in that machine. I didn't get a Coke. Honest, I did, Mr. Eddie. I wouldn't lie to you. Yeah. So I'm about to put the keys in there, and I put the keys in there, start to open, and I just stopped, and I said, Jesus, did Booger put a dime in that Coke? He said, no, sir, I'm lying. I'm lying. I didn't do it. He may have been a booger, but he respected God. Amen? We're living in a generation that don't respect God anymore. Why? Because the boundary has been changed. God didn't move it. We did. We need to put it back. We need to put it back. Amen? We need to stay on this side of righteousness. We need to stay on this side of what the Bible tells us. We need to proclaim it. We need to declare it as Jeremiah did. And in order to do that, we got to stay true to the limit. There is a boundary line. The fourth step is quit rebelling. Quit rebelling. Oh, Brother Eddie, I'm not rebelling. Are you obeying? If you ain't obeying, you're rebelling. That's it. Well, I'm not vocal about it. You don't have to be vocal to rebel. Amen. You can be against a lot of things and just not vocalize it. You may think, well, I ain't got to do that. God didn't really mean that. I'll serve him when I get ready. Do you know the graveyards are full of people who were going to serve God when they got ready? But God said, you're not given the promise of tomorrow. Today is the day of salvation. Quit rebelling. Amen. Stay submissive. Refrain from my way or the highway attitude. Do you know there's so many people that pray, God, you got to do it, and you got to do it like this. No, he doesn't. He doesn't. He's not obligated to do it my way or your way. Because my way and your way sometimes is the wrong way. But if you'll just say, God, thy will be done. Here's the mess. I know I created it, but thy will be done. In Jesus' name. I'm going about your business. But we lay out a complete plan of steps and processes for God to do it. And on top of that, we give him a time limit. You got to do it. You got to do it by this time tomorrow. You got to do it now. And God said, I got it. I got it. Amen. I got it. Quit rebelling. Stay submissive. Refrain from my way or the highway attitude. And finally, step number five. Allow God to set your boundary. Amen. He knows the limits. He knows your ability. He knows what you go through. Amen. I'm quite taken back by our prayers sometimes, even my own. Spend 15 or 20 minutes telling God, giving him every little detail when he already knows. And I'm thinking, he's sitting there going, get this over with. You know, when's the faith coming? I've heard enough belly aching. I know the problem. I know the issue, but I am the answer. And I think so many times, you know, we do this. We get caught up. But we need to allow God to set the boundary. And we need to allow God to answer the prayer in the way that He wants to answer the prayer.
Amen.
Amen. But when God sets the boundary, let's not change it. Let's not fuss about it. Let's just simply obey it and adhere to it and adhere to the Word of God. You know, some people get so mad at preachers, but I ain't seen a preacher yet that actually wrote this. Haven't seen one. Amen. Now, God used men, and He spoke through men. Amen. But the matter came from God. Amen. The statutes came from God. The precepts came from God. Amen. And He just simply chose man to speak that. Amen. To acknowledge the Word of God and to pass it on and to encourage us. You know, somebody said, why do preachers preach the same old thing? And one preacher said, because my church ain't done that yet. When they do that, I'll change the message. Amen. Praise God. But it never hurts to hear it again.
Amen.
The Word of God.
Amen.
You need boundaries in your life. You need limitations. It's all right to say no. It's all right to say no to the world.
Amen.
It's all right to be different.
Right.
Yeah, in my day, we hear it, my granddaddy would preach, but we were peculiar people. And I said, God, I'm so glad I'm weird. I'm right where He wants to be. I'm one of the weirdest fellas I've ever seen. Until I found out, He ain't talking about weird. In fact, the Hebrew word means chosen. We're set aside. Amen. And I don't pat myself on the back because of that, because I know without God's Spirit, I am weird. And I'm not chosen. But because of His love, because of His grace, because of His mercy, He saw me. Amen. When I was unlovable, and He loved me anyway. And He brought me into a relationship with Jesus Christ. Amen. And He said, He can live within you. Amen. Aren't you glad that Christ lives within us through the Holy Ghost, through the Comforter, that helps us abide by the boundary? Let's quit using the excuse everybody else is doing it. And I just kind of throw this in because it won't cost you a nickel more. Let's quit trying to live our life like it's trying to please everybody else. And focus on pleasing God. And that way, when the boundary is set, and the sand is in place, and the line is drawn, and the waves come, and the sea roars, it'll go right back to its place because there's a boundary.
Amen.
I say that, and as I was reading this week, I felt the protecting hand of God. I don't know, I really don't know, how people handle life situations without a relationship with the Lord. It's very hard even with a relationship with the Lord. This week we buried our mother-in-law. It's been very difficult. I thought about God. We're so blessed that You live within us to help us through times like this. We're so blessed that we can call on Your name when you're praying for somebody, praying for one another. Lord, we're so privileged. We're so blessed. Because God said, I'm going to leave you and I won't forsake you, but I will be with you all the way. But you got to stay true to the boundary. You got to set limits in your life. Amen. Would you stand? Every head bowed, every eye closed.